I'm KLOS. It's the Rock of Southern California doing Everybody Loves List Weekend. Yep, even on Sports on Tap with J.D. and the Bush.
Yeah,
and good, the good Bush sacks. Had a good one. Yeah, good sacks right there off the bat. You see what we did, there? Good sacks. See that?
I'm thinking, I'm thinking sack, of course. Football. Mm-hmm. Football season is here. Sack of potatoes. You know, a whole bunch of different sacks. A lot of ways we can go with it.
And in this one, it's saxophone.
Yes.
That goes pretty well with the rock and roll this morning.
I'm glad you listened to my suggestion.
You know, one in a row, right?
My first would have been better, but still, my second. I'll play my first on the way home.
Maybe we'll text you that one. Let's talk a little bit of college football for just a second, because a couple of things we want to talk about. The first thing is, before we get to the games of the weekend, Chip Kelly as the new head coach for the UCLA Bruins. Wow, that has got people really abuzz. 5 years, $23 million. Does that sound about right?
Mm-hmm. It does.
He's going to have plenty of power. He's going to be able to recruit really well. I think this is great news for the Bruins.
Yeah, I mean, he was a high octane when he was at Oregon, and then went on to the NFL. Tried to get it to translate there, and I've never liked it.
It almost worked, because it was 2 10-win seasons. Just couldn't get over the hump, because you figure you win 10 wins in the NFL, you're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, you wind up getting to the playoffs. You know, the guys, when he first got to Philadelphia, he said, wait a minute, you want us to run how many plays? 105 plays when they run 70 in the NFL. You know, these are 33-year-old grown men that have played in the league for 10 years who have kids in private school, not 19-year-old kids, you know, that you recruited up from Southern California.
That you're going to run into the dirt.
Absolutely, all the time. So we're going to see what he does. But the main thing is to try to see still how much pull and how much mojo and swag that he has out here on the West Coast. Now, he was a guy in the Oregon system. He was an assistant there for a while, so he really knew a lot, and you know, he knew his roots there and where he came from. So coming down here, can he fit in? Can he relate to the kids? Because he wasn't getting bumped up from the assistant role, so he will kind of be starting over with scratch. And you know,
he won a national title in the Pac-12. I mean,
yeah, you know,
they won a national title. I mean, Chip Kelly.
Yeah, no, Oregon's a solid team, and they were a great team there. They were a lot of fun to be able to have and watch, and they're like I said, if he brings the same blueprint that he did in Oregon, now you got to get the pieces to go with it too, the quarterbacks, the receivers, everybody else you have with it too. So
there's a job to be done. No question. And it's all, in college, it's different. It's about recruiting, and he's going to be able to recruit, and that'll be a
problem. He'll recruit. He'll be fine. And I mean, it's one of those things you really hope, because this Bruins team is what we don't want. JD, we were talking about, is this Bruins team to turn into a winning the game 63-60, you know, because they got that work on the defensive side of the ball. We know the offense is going to be just fine with Chip Kelly. That's going to be exciting for people, but they shore things up. They'll be fine, and they'll be competitive with SC. So I think it's a great hire. He was really the marquee guy out there on the national circuit. You know, everybody was waiting to see where Chip Kelly went before the dominoes fell from there.
Some interesting stuff always on the long holiday Thanksgiving weekend in college football, and one of the more interesting things is Alabama going down in the Iron Bowl. Charles Barkley, if you caught him before the game, was pretty funny. I know that clip has been played quite a bit, but yeah, Auburn gets it done, takes out Alabama. Alabama goes from being the number one team in the nation to maybe on the outside looking in of the college Final Four.
Yeah,
just by that one loss.
I think they should be. I mean, this is not what the College Bowl Committee wanted, because somebody's going to be left out here. I mean, Auburn's got two losses, so statistically, when you mathematically add it up, they shouldn't be in there, because one lost team should
be. Who'd they lose to?
Right. Well, they lost to bad teams. Auburn lost bad teams earlier in the year, but here's what they're going to say. Auburn, in two of the last 3 weeks, has beaten number one
teams. Two number ones.
Right. So that's good. Is that going to outweigh things? Plus, you and I know it's a what have you done for me lately, JD. You win in November, we tend to forget what happened.
Yeah, they do.
Back there in September, and that's what they're doing. But yeah, they had a couple bad losses earlier in the year. They turn it around, get it together, but they're finishing stronger than anybody. Alabama with this loss is not a good look thing, because now they're not in the SEC championship game.
Right.
So they're not going to
play. They're done.
It's a rematch. Yeah, they're all done. So now they got to sit there, wait and see what happens.
I don't think they're going to make it. I don't think they're going to make it.
Well, let's talk Miami too on Friday. Miami
might not make it.
They were number two.
Miami still has to play
Clemson. Miami plays Clemson in the ACC championship, and whoever loses that is still just going to have one loss. I think they'll sneak in maybe as a number four somewhere. But Clemson lost to Syracuse, a basketball school earlier this year. They shouldn't even be in the top 50.
JT Barrett had one of the most bizarre things in the world happen. Now, talk about two lost schools. Ohio State is still kind of holding out hope, and they love Alabama losing because they would like to be considered still their strength of schedule and that. They won their game, big rivalry game, Ohio State-Michigan, one of the biggest there is in college football. Ohio State wins, but JT Barrett is injured by a cameraman on the sideline before the game. What?
Yeah, he's injured, and you know, too many guys on the sideline. Urban Meyer said, "Well,
there'll be an all-out investigation."
Yeah, well, guess what, Urban, your sideline credentialed them to be there. Is
true.
What it is. Yeah, they did. The other Michigan guys hang out on the Michigan sideline, but that's the, you know, who's who and the what to do. Is you had Charles Woodson hanging out there for Michigan. You had Desmond Howard. You had Hottie Jones, guys who played at Michigan, won a title all over on their sideline. Then you had Cardale Jones. You had everybody short of LeBron James. Is a big Buckeyes fan on the Ohio State side. It's no different here at the Coliseum when USC was doing their thing and Snoop Dogg and Will Ferrell, and it was a party and a who's who all the time down. Play the football game.
I guarantee you that there's not going to be as many media passes handed out at Ohio State games going forward.
Yeah, Urban wasn't happy with that, too. So some cameraman, I'm going to find out who
that was. I feel sorry for that guy.
That's what I said. I go, someone lost their press pass. You know,
that's right.
That's going to be it for those guys. But a strange, freaky injury. Here's what's weird, though, about the Ohio State thing. You remember a couple years ago, when they got to the national championship, JT Barrett was a freshman, hurts himself. This kid named Cardale Jones steps up and leads them there. And now JT Barrett's last year, he gets hurt, and some kid named Haskins leads them to a big win. And what if Haskins next week can knock off undefeated Wisconsin?
Yikes.
JT Barrett's going to be the guy who held it down in the middle, but he wasn't there to pick
twice
up the date or to kiss the date at the end of the night. Somebody else came in and stole that away from you, man.
Rude. So predictions already, the calculators are clicking. And check this out. This is from best we can tell from looking at a couple of different sites. This is chances of making the playoffs. Oklahoma, 68% chance of making the Final Four. Clemson, 57% chance of making the Final Four. Auburn, a 52% chance of making the Final Four. And Wisconsin, a 50% chance of making it. That leaves Georgia out, Alabama out, Ohio State out, and Miami out. Now, we still have to wait. That's if it happened today.
Right.
So we still got to see it wait and happen one more week. But still, I mean, Oklahoma, Clemson, Auburn, and Wisconsin is likely.
And Wisconsin should be. Wisconsin's in a major conference, and Wisconsin's undefeated. So they've been getting dissed all throughout the course of the year. Well, who have they missed Ohio State. They missed Penn State. They beat Michigan. And here's what's funny is Ohio State fans will sit there and honk their horn. We beat Michigan! But then... Wisconsin didn't play anybody. They played Michigan. Isn't that the same team that you guys just... I love when people do that.
Yeah.
They discount when you play them, but when they play them, it's a
different
big deal.
Story.
So it's going to come out in the wash next week when Wisconsin plays Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship. Wisconsin needs to win that game to obviously, you know, be in there. And good luck to the Badgers.
All right. Coming up, we'll get back to lists. Everybody loves lists, and our list is good sacks. Good sacks. David Bowie's Young Americans was first. What do you got? 800-955-KLOS. 955-KLOS. Some spring this morning. Everybody loves Liss and Sports on Tap. Yeah, we're getting involved in this one too. This is a lot of fun, Springsteen, for the list of good sacks. Now what we do is we bring in one of our neighbors, Alex Gelhar from the NFL Network, is sliding by on his way to work to help us with our fantasy lineup. Good morning, sir.
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Do you like sacks in your rock and roll?
I do like a little sacks. The 80s was a great period for sacks in the rock and roll.
Very true.
You had some very iconic licks and some great sax players in there.
I'm going to try and squeeze some more of that in. Let's squeeze in a little football. I mean, we saw horrific stuff on Thanksgiving Day. Well, some people saw some horrific stuff. I didn't see the Cowboy game. I have my Dish Network guys, so that's a conversation for later. But, I mean, what has happened to Dak Prescott the last couple of weeks? I mean, are we going to be able to trust this guy in the fantasy world over the next couple of weeks?
No, I think it's time to get worried because Tyron Smith was back, but without Zeke, we're also Dez Bryant's not the number one type of wide receiver that can take over games anymore. There's some other holes on that roster, and it's just everything's kind of falling apart now. Like the L's were stacking up, bad situations were stacking up for Dak, and now it's going to be tough to overcome.
Looks ugly. Yeah, it does. It looks bad in Dallas.
Hey, fantasy football wise, and as far as the way teams are playing right now, AFC, we always know the Patriots are good. Patriots and Steelers, to me, right now, I can't tell these two teams apart for how good they are. And then the NFC, it seems to me like a three-headed race right now. The Saints, the Vikings, and the Philadelphia Eagles. But good records, does that always equate to good fantasy?
Oftentimes, yeah. I mean, some teams will sneak by with like the winning 13-10 all the time. But
right.
if you're winning that many games in the National Football League, you're scoring a lot of points.
You're still scoring
and,
points, yeah.
A lot of those teams have very concentrated parts of their offense. The Saints, the running backs, we always want to be starting mm-hmm. them. The Eagles, Carson Wentz, we always want to be starting him. Mm-hmm. Patriots and, you know, Steelers, we know their guys as well. You know, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, they're a little good at this football thing, I think.
Mm-hmm. That Gronkowski guy's not bad.
Not too bad. Not too mm-hmm. bad.
You know, when it comes to that, too, you know, you're talking about winning records. This is a kind of something that I believe in when I'm going after players, whether this is drafting or whether I'm going after them off the waiver wire. I always like players off of teams that are doing well because they have more opportunities. They're on the field more often. So, yeah, I like players off of winning teams a lot better than, like, say, players from the Browns. Not a big fan. I got Isaiah Crowell on my team, but he's on the bench. He didn't get off. Should he get off the bench today?
I don't think so. It's gonna be a tough spot for him.
If they can't win this game against Cincinnati, who can they beat?
Oh, they'll beat my Packers in like a week.
No, Hundley will get a win.
I don't know about that.
No, Chip Kelly actually is gonna call him and coach him through it.
Oh yeah,
so
okay,
I think so. There's a good chance that's gonna happen. Hey, the Bills and the Chiefs. 5-2, they both start. The Chiefs start the last undefeated team, and now no one's even looking at them for a wild card. It's so funny how this game can change. You know, an injury here, an injury there. It's a long season indeed, and that's got to throw people for a loop, too, with their fantasy rosters.
Yeah, it certainly does, because a lot of people get stuck into believing what happened earlier in the season is going to be the case the whole season, but fantasy is a game of managing expectations
right.
and taking what the game is telling us and trying to apply it to our rosters, and a lot of those Chiefs aren't the locked in every week starters. Like Alex Smith in particular is a guy that the beginning of the season you had to leave him in your lineup, set it and forget it. Now it's more of a matchup based play, but I think he does have a good matchup today.
Yeah, it's a problem here and there. It's a compromise. What you're saying, what I'm getting from this, it's like a bad marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, no, that's not what you're saying.
No, not quite.
Okay. He's Alex Gellar from the NFL Network and Sports on Tap. JD in the Bush each and every Sunday morning from 7 to 9 with you on 95.5 KLOS. There's three lines that are 14 points or more. JD, guys, this is the NFL. This is not college football where we're getting greased by boosters and we got to climb up in the polls.
That's
you
not
just got to win. There's a 17 and there's two 14s. My gosh, man, there could be some haywire football today.
Yeah, the schedule this week is a little all over the map. You've got some juggernauts versus some cupcakes, and then you've got a couple like bad teams or teams in bad spots facing each other, like that Monday Night Football game. Texans, Tom Savage versus Joe Flacco. Are you not excited to watch that in primetime?
Come on!
Yes.
Carolina Panthers get Greg Olsen back today. From a fantasy standpoint, are we starting Greg Olsen?
I think we should be. The report is Ron Rivera had said he wants Greg Olsen to play at least like half their snaps, which is great news because he's a very talented tight end. And with the tight end position every week, literally all we're chasing is the hopes of a touchdown or you know, a handful of yards. And Greg Olsen should offer that playing half the game.
Denver Broncos going to be at the Oakland Raiders today, and they're going to go with Paxton Lynch, you know, which is surprising me. You went out there and you went and go get Brock Osweiler. You run him out there for a couple of games. You go, no, let's get this packed up. What are they doing in Denver, and what does this mean to the wide receivers in that game for Denver?
Well, I have no idea what they're doing in Denver with the quarterback situation.
No answer to that.
Yeah. As they're on their third guy right now. But it should mean, I mean, changing quarterbacks is never a great thing for wide receivers on the surface. There's inconsistency worries, timing worries, but Paxton Lynch did play with these guys last year, and when he did, he targeted Emmanuel Sanders on over 30% of his throws and Demaryius Thomas on about 25%. So, best case scenario, the volume should be there, and they're playing a good matchup because the Oakland Raiders are not a great defense, but, you know, you gotta be a little bit worried. I'd still start those two, but, not gonna feel as great about it.
Saints and the Rams.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Great game.
Stats all over the place. Game of the week. The Rams trying to bounce back. The Saints trying to keep rolling here. Drew Brees against the kid, Jared Goff. And what say you on this one?
Well, I mean, you know, we mentioned the Saints backfield earlier. You want to start all those guys. But I think especially with Marshawn Lattimore, I'm pretty sure he's going to be out now. It hasn't been officially confirmed. But Sammy Watkins and Cooper Kupp could be really good plays in fantasy this week. Marshawn Lattimore has been, as a rookie, the key to that defensive secondary. And at home, you know, with the Saints coming across country, I think Goff and that offense could be a good spot to put up some
Robert
points.
Woods is out, right?
Out, yeah, for a couple weeks.
Right, right. So, I mean, if you're a young quarterback, you want as many weapons as you can to try to help things out. Now somebody's going to get a double team. Most likely it's going to be Watkins. You're going to leave it up to Cooper Kupp because he fumbles on the one all the time, you know. So, whoops.
One time.
You get points for that? Do you lose points for fumbling on the one?
You do lose points for fumbling, not extra points for fumbling on the one.
You should. That's just start something new for your league, man.
In our league, our kickers get penalized for missing an extra point. I mean, that's a gimme. You miss that, that's going to cost you a point.
I've heard of leagues where you get penalized extra for if your quarterback throws a pick six as opposed to a pick two. Which makes sense.
Yeah, and the league that my son is in, it's 6 points. You throw a pick six, it's 6 points off your quarterback's number.
That's a day ruiner right there.
Who's the quarterback the Texans had last year that just kept failing over and over miserably?
Well, it was Matt Schaub years ago? Yeah.
Remember Schaub a couple of years ago? He had, four or five straight games, I believe.
I think it was four with a pick
six. With a pick six. And what was great about this, a Houston sandwich shop, you know, said you can pick six. You can get a sandwich with six different ingredients on it. We call it the Matt Schaub. You know, you got to pick six. Yeah. I thought that was funny.
That was great. It was quite the run. It was really unfortunate for Schaub, but it was just kind of one of those things where after a couple of weeks, everybody's like, Is he really going to do it again?
You got a sandwich named after you. Come on, man. That's the only thing harder is a candy bar. Jeez. Killing me.
Okay, last thing. Phillip Rivers destroyed the Cowboys on Thursday. Is this somebody we should be looking at fantasy-wise for the stretch?
In the right matchup, certainly, yes. And it's good. It's a good sign that he's gone back to just heavily funneling targets to Keenan Allen, because that worked for them back in the day, that he was kind of getting away from throwing too many balls to Keenan Allen. But we've seen the last 2 weeks, Keenan Allen's got like 300 some yards the last 2 weeks. Actually, in the span of 5 days, he has three touchdowns and like 350 yards. So I think it's a good sign for them, and they don't have a terrible schedule coming up down the stretch.
Yeah, they played some of their tougher games. Oh, they're 5-6. Are they going to make the playoffs?
I think they are going to make
the
playoffs.
Really? The Chargers, okay.
Could have two L.A. teams in the playoffs.
Oh,
yikes!
We could have an L.A. Super Bowl. Can we start previewing it right
just
now?
Turn his microphone on.
Let's get it catered.
Are you serious?
What's in your coffee cup over there?
Moose milk. Moose milk's in my coffee cup. It's
Alex
a combination
Gellar's
of
with the NFL
rum,
Network.
Ice cream.
He does the matchups at NFL.com, and he stops by here. We appreciate it, man.
My pleasure, guys.
By.
Good
Thank
luck, everybody.
Alex.
All right. Coming up next, we get back to the list and good sacks, 95.5. Mm. Well, we thank Alex for coming by talking a little fantasy football. I see that the show's attorney is on the line. I don't know what he wants. He's not scheduled on the show. But meanwhile, back at Everybody Loves List, it's good sacks this morning, and now the full version of Urgent by Foreigner, 95.5 KLOS. Rock Southern California, 95.5 KLOS. Everybody Loves List, even on the Sports on Tap show, Lou Gramm and Foreigner. With some good sacks this morning. All right, if you can roll the Raider music here, we're going to roll in the show's attorney. Drew Sherman is with the Adley Law Group here in Los Angeles, going to join us now. I didn't know you were scheduled on the program this morning, sir, but good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I've got some Everybody Loves List. How about, can a brother get some Kenny G or a little Careless Whisper?
Thank you.
Careless Whisper? You got the wrong radio station, man.
And Kenny G is the best man to ever pick up a saxophone. It just happens that he went to the University of Washington, too.
You two can go
too.
Have warm showers together and listen to Kenny G.
Oh, we
then.
Can absolutely. What time am I showering with you, Drew? You tell me, and I will be there. Yeah, I will bring the soap.
I got to go Careless Whisper all day, every day.
That's fine.
Stop it already. I'm going to talk the law with you if you're going to do that.
What? I'm conserving
and
water.
I'll tell you what. You know what I want to talk about? I want to sue CBS because I had no damn Cowboy game on my TV on Thanksgiving. Can I sue them?
You know what? And it's funny you bring that up because I was watching a bit on the Heidi game from back in the 60s. Yeah, most definitely, especially these days. You want to see Cowboys get rocked. So I agree with you there.
Come on. I want you to let's go sue CBS. It'll be worth millions. We'll make it class action. Everybody got punked out of the Cowboy game on Thursday will join us. It'll be millions of dollars.
Oh.
We'll buy our own island.
I'm down.
We can do that.
And
then we can say somebody sexually harassed you, too, along the way. And then, my God, it can just keep spinning and going out of control. I mean, what do you think?
I got lost in the sexual harassment. If it's to himself, though.
An employee 30 years ago along the way when I drove by the studios in Burbank, you know, did something inappropriate at the light. That doesn't count? No?
No.
Oh, damn.
Afraid not. So what do you
not
think?
When it's your own hand.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Oh, boy, we're going to get off of this real quick. The other thing that was odd is JT Barrett gets injured by a cameraman on the sideline of the Ohio State-Michigan game, winds up leaving the game. Can JT Barrett sue somebody?
You know, gentlemen, out of all the crazy scenarios that you present to me on these Sunday mornings, this actually had some legs. I will say that. Remember, negligence is what we're talking about here. Negligence is about, were they acting reasonably? And from what I understand, that cameraman was, you know, was not doing what he was supposed to do. JT Barrett was, you know, doing everything that they were supposed to do. He was acting reasonably. But the cameraman was kind of outside of his little area and not following the protocols that are in place for them to keep them safe and to keep the players safe. And, yeah, JT Barrett actually might have some an actionable cause of action here that he can bring to the table.
And he could sue the rival. It happened at Michigan, right?
Well, and I wonder where that cameraman went to college or where his kids go to college. Think about that.
Bet we find out because Urban Meyer said there's going to be an all-out investigation.
What do we do? Do we take the cameraman's house and his car, maybe his kids, auction them off? What do we do with them?
Wouldn't be the first time I did that.
Okay, there you go.
I'm sure it wouldn't. Wow.
Tells you what kind of guy he is. That's the show's attorney, Drew Sherman. Drew, thanks for being with us on the show this morning.
No problem. Hey, how about a little brown sugar, maybe? Rolling Stones.
Aha, see?
That's the after real that's
request
after Kenny G.
Finally comes out.
After
right.
Kenny G.
We'll do that for you, Drew. Thanks, bud. And you and me, we're going to sue CBS. That's it.
I'm still stuck on the shower thing.
Anymore. Wow. Roll some Rolling Stones quickly. 95.5. It's Rock, Southern California, 95.5, KLOS. JD and the Bush, we do sports on tap. On Sunday mornings.
That's right. We tap it every Sunday morning, baby.
That's
7
right.
to 9.
And this hour's list, because we're doing Everybody Loves List this weekend on KLOS, and this hour's list has been good sacks. Not sacks on the football field, but saxophones in your rock and roll. So Young Americans from David Bowie's in there, Born to Run from Springsteen. Urgent was in there. And Brown Sugar from request from Drew.
Good list.
Now, you want to talk about, you know that players can get ejected, you know, at any time in a game. I mean, you bump an official, you get into a fight, all kinds of things can get you ejected from the game.
Yeah, you get in a big fight if it's college basketball. It's the way the game ended. It reminded me of watching hockey. I love it because hockey, that's one of the exciting things when you get 3-4 guys in the penalty box. It's 5-on-2 what you'll get out there, but it was 5-on-3. For college basketball.
Basketball?
Never seen anything like it. It was yesterday. Alabama, you talk about having a tough day. Alabama not only got smoked in the Iron Bowl, their basketball team loses to Minnesota, but they finished the game with 3 players. And I'm not talking for just a minute. You're talking a good chunk of the second half. 5-on-3, Minnesota winds up playing Alabama because Alabama got in a fight. And, yeah, sure enough, they have to finish with 3 guys to the 5 that Minnesota had, JD. And here's what I found troubling about this. If I'm the Minnesota head coach, you won the game. I would get after my guys something fierce, though, because you guys were outplayed by the 3 of Alabama.
Yep.
Alabama outscored them 30-22 with three on five.
That's terrible.
So, you know, somebody's losing a scholarship. You know,
I've always three guys.
Tell me, you
wouldn't
love to be a coach, and I would have everybody's scholarship letter right there. And the crappier you play, you're looking over at me. I'm starting to rip it in half. You know, and then you do better. I tape it up with scotch tape, rip it again. We'll see how much of your scholarship's left on a game to game basis. This is a business here, and Minnesota didn't get the business done. They won the game, but with a 5-on-3 handicap, getting outscored by Alabama.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Speaking of basketball, if I'd have told you at the start of the season that after 20 games, the Lakers would have a better record than the Clippers, you would have laughed me out of the room, right?
Yeah, I would have said that. With Chris Paul going, I said, well, it'll maybe closer than we think. But, yeah, the Lakers, I didn't think they would be doing as well as they are. So I mean, that's a testament
to them.
It's only
one game, but the thing is the Lakers are technically in second place in the Pacific Division.
Yep.
And these are just the players that they're collecting to put with whatever superstar they get next year. I'd say that's a pretty good sign for the Lakers.
It's a great sign. And I credit most of the Lakers' success to welcoming in LaVar Ball with open arms, I think, because, you know, when you consider salt with Mr. Ball about, you know, the
way. You know, how long did it? It was less than 20 games before he said exactly what I said he would say. Is it Luke Walton and the Lakers don't know what they're doing with my kid?
Yep.
And Luke Walton has had to answer that and say, yeah, we're not really concerned with what he says. Basically, they're saying, you know, he's a bunch of hot air. They don't listen to him. And, you know, the people in the media are fools for listening to him.
Well, Luke took the high road, too,
he
because he said, first thing, you always start by complimenting somebody. And he said, oh, LaVar's done, you know, a great job raising Lonzo. He's a respectful, quiet young man. You know, he doesn't
do such a great job with LiAngelo, though.
He doesn't steal shades. He doesn't steal shades, and the only steals he has is on the court. You know, that would have been great. If Luke would have said that, that would have been the only steals he has is from picking his opponent's pockets. But then at the very end, he goes, yeah, we're not really concerned what parents think. It honestly sounded like a high school coach. I don't really care what the parents think about playing your kid or not playing your kid. So, yeah, Luke has to answer to that. It's pretty funny. But what I found even more interesting was Steve Kerr, the mild-mannered Golden State coach Steve Kerr, who never says anything. Somebody asked him, hey, what about this feud with LeVar Ball and Donald Trump? Because LeVar Ball basically said, Trump, you really didn't do a whole lot. It ain't no big deal.
You were already over there.
You were already over there. You just made a call. No big deal. Trump's like, of course, he takes everything personally. I should have let him rot in jail. And Steve's like, why don't they just both go away and shut up? They both like attention. I mean, to hear Steve Kerr talk like that, he's like the most quiet guy in the room.
His players are rubbing off on him.
His players are. Well, they are the Lakers of the North. We know that, so they've been told.
All right, coming up, let's get into another list. Everybody loves lists. Weekend on KLOS.
KLOS and KLOS HD1, Los Angeles. This is the Rock of Southern California, and this is the home of Sports on Tap.
Your one-stop shop for sports talk.
With JD and the Puss.
Great icebreaker. If you can talk sports, you can talk with any guy in the world.
Kicking off right now on 95.5 KLOS.
All right, here's what we're going to kick off. It's a new list for the second hour of the program. Everybody loves lists. JD and the Bush, we do Sports on Tap Sunday mornings here on KLOS, and we're doing a list. A fun thing with lists this weekend, everybody loves lists, and this has been something we've been doing all weekend long, all 4 days here at KLOS. Our list there for the second hour of the show is arena rock songs. So we will rock you. What's the matter?
Yeah, it's not the arena can be subjective, right? Does arena necessarily look? I hang out in different types of arenas than you do.
What do you mean?
Well, the arenas I hang out in. How about some Def Leppard? Pour Some Sugar on Me. Do you got that in there? That's a great arena song.
Okay, I think I see a trend here. What else would you like to hear in that arena?
Warrant, Cherry Pie.
Cherry Pie.
Look, you're big. Do we not play AC/DC on this station?
Yes, we do.
Okay, You Shook Me All Night Long. That's the only AC/DC song I want to hear. The rest of
is this arena that you go to somewhere near the airport?
It could be. You know what? Hey, I pay my taxes.
Is there lots of mirrors? And is it dimly lit and poles all over the place?
Yeah, I support the economy, okay, just as much as
you're
anybody else does.
You're trying to put those girls through school, is
what you're saying. Well, I try to. I care about it furthering their education. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
We're going to keep moving here.
Paying for babysitting.
I think is what we're going to do. How about this? Tickets to see Joe Rogan at the Fox Performing Arts Center. Joe is a great lover of the sports world. As a matter of fact, an MMA guy and a guy that, from the looks of him, you don't want any part of if you bump into in a dark alley, right?
No.
All right, 800-955-KLOS. We'll take the 10th caller for a pair of tickets to see Joe Rogan at the Fox Performing Arts Center coming up December 8th at 10 p.m. So 800-955-KLOS. You want to win some tickets.
Nine Inch Nails, closer.
Would you just stop already?
This is my list or your list?
Big fan of the sports world, Joe Rogan is performing at the Fox Performing Arts Center in Riverside coming up on December 8th. Congratulations to Nicole in Huntington Beach. She got through and is going to go see Joe Rogan coming up. We got another pair of those tickets that we'll try and hand out before we wrap things up and hand things over to Chris Carter and Breakfast with the Beatles. In the meantime, back to the music. Everybody loves Liz for Sports on Tap. Arena Rock. How about some Stones on KLOS? 95.5 KLOS. Everybody loves Liz this weekend, even on Sports on Tap. And there's the Rolling Stones, the unofficial, I would say, NFL song. I mean, it gets played in arenas and stadiums all over the place whenever they kick the game off. Hey, you may have seen pictures of Steph Curry last night. Might see him this morning of him wearing a fanny pack. And you're thinking, I even saw the first time with the sound down at the other gig nice fanny pack. Well, apparently, Davidson took on the University of Nevada. Mm-hmm. And so Davidson alum Steph Curry and Nevada alum JaVale McGee had a little bet. Well, of course, Nevada wins the game pretty handily. That means Steph Curry had to wear, I guess, his fanny pack all the way out onto the floor, right? Not playing, but, in the locker room, all the way out, warm-ups and everything.
Yeah, you can get away with that if you're Steph Curry. Watch what's going to happen. The sales of fanny packs are going to go through the roof. If I'm Golden State, I find a way to market these. I get Warrior fanny packs and sell them there with, like, Steph Curry's signature on it.
You put his number on them, and they'd sell a billion
absolutely,
of them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Look, the Warriors, here's what was interesting. Mind you, the Warriors were the first team to cave this year. They already have more money than God, winning every single title for the last two decades, it seems. But they said, let's put a logo of a sponsor on our jersey. Now, three or four or five other teams do that. And I got to tell you, man, with the way salaries and everything goes up, you can only charge $40 for a beer before people won't buy them anymore. Where else are you going to get money? Let's put a stamp right here on our chest. So Oh man, this this list.
I think they could absolutely sell a few if you put like Steph's face on them.
Yeah.
As long as it's a Warriors thing, he could be okay with that.
Yeah, or his wife in the background sitting there yelling at him or tweeting out things. What do you think
Aisha,
of that?
Please, let's keep Aisha out of this.
So have we got to my arena list yet? We can't do that?
What do you want? Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, what do you want? Pour some sugar on me or cherry pie?
No, you said I can't do that. So I'm going to compromise with you because life is about compromise here. So instead, we'll stick to your sports arena list. But I am going to ask for some Gary Glitter because I think of glitter and that's more my type arena. So you got Gary Glitter at least in there? Can we do that? Thank you, at least, okay?
See, look at that.
It's a modified version.
See?
Def Leppard's still better, but still, go ahead and enjoy your Gary.
It's 95.5
Shake
KLOS.
The bottom! Come on!
95.5 KLOS, GNR. What'd you say, Dave? Fourth in the set last night, that song?
Yep.
That was the fourth tune? Boy, man, they got them wound up early, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, they played 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours they played last night? Wow.
Yep.
Woo! They came out on stage 3.5 hours late last night.
No, that was back in the day. Yeah. Is what they used to do.
They were in time. I saw them last summer in Boston. I was like, okay, all right. Still the best ever though. When Lenny Kravitz opened for him, it was like, yeah, he's going to play for about an hour. His last song he did, "Are You Going to Go My Way?" And he, of course, he finishes "Baby, I Got to Go." And I don't know if he timed it, but he literally like looked at his watch. "I Got to Go," and then dropped the mic at 60 minutes on the dot. Like, I'm not getting paid any overtime here. Just set his guitar down and walked off. No encore, no nothing, man.
All right, if you like to, if you like the Vegas side of sports, we've got RJ Bell. This is the founder of pregame.com. This is who the Associated Press goes to when they want the number. And also a guy with a brand new podcast over at Podcast One called The Dream Preview. Good morning, RJ.
I could sing Sweet Child of Mine a cappella or give you picks.
I vote for the singing. Yeah, I've lost my house. Your picks are crappy anyway.
Bail you out and go ahead and go with the
picks. What was that crack? What was that incorrect crack?
No, what I said is you do a great job, man. We love having you on here each and every week. There you go. You're RJ Bell, man. You're absolute money each and every week, brother. You want to buy a second house? Listen to RJ.
Well, hey. Listen, all joking aside, it is important to realize the best pros in the world win about 55%.
Wow.
A drunk baby flipping a coin wins 50%. So the difference between it is small, but it's key.
There you
small
go.
Small but significant.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I'm scared when I see giant point spread. As far as gambling goes, I see double-digit numbers, and I see, I think, about three or four of them this week. I run from those games. Is that good advice, or just am I a cowardly better?
Well, first off, any situation you don't have a good feel for, if it's a new quarterback, if it's off a bye, first game of the year, last game of the year, whatever it is, if there's complexity that you don't think helps you understand the right side of the game, you pass the game. That's a big advantage of a bettor. Personally, myself, most other wise guys in Vegas, with big favorites in the NFL specifically, it's underdog or pass. They really don't like to lay the lumber, and thus, for me, in almost every case, once you get over a touchdown, it's underdog or pass. Mm-hmm.
The Patriots are 16.5-point favorites over the Miami Dolphins, so that means I should take the Dolphins in the 16.5?
Actually, one of my best bets of the week, Dolphins, here's the rationale. It's the biggest spread of the season, which doesn't mean you have to take the points, but the Patriots played in Mexico City after going to Denver and staying a week at altitude at the Air Force Academy. And after the game, Belichick talked about how fatiguing that trip was. Well, when you're tired, you probably slow the game down. Belichick doesn't care if they win by 7, 10, 14. He's happy with any of those wins. Well, we're getting almost 17, which means in every one of those cases, we win with the Dolphins. One of the better bets of the week. I know it's a tough one. Dolphins find a 17 if you can.
What's the money line on that game? And explain quickly, because that's all I really like to play, honestly. I'm going to lose huge if I ever get upset, but I like to win little small increments. What is the money line on that game, and what is a money line for the listeners?
Yeah, so a money line, the concept of a money line is there is no point spread. So how do you even things out, right? The Patriots is a perfect example. They are clearly the better team, so who wouldn't bet the Patriots? Well, on a money line, if there is no spread, you actually have to bet more money on the favorite to win less and bet less money to win more. If you on the dog, if you bet $100 on the Dolphins, and they win that game, you win about $900. So a 9-1 underdog.
Yeah, and you have to bet $900 on the Patriots just to win $100 as well.
That's too. the bad part.
A little bit more than that, oh, okay. Because the bookies got to eat, right? I promise you, those bookies are going to eat.
Yes, they
so
are.
There's that, the straddle. So you actually got to lay 13 to win one on the Patriots.
That being said, JD and I will still take the Patriots.
Yeah, probably.
Well, listen, you guys are stand-ins for the unwashed masses.
That's fine. I'm a backup everywhere else. Why not here, too?
Hey, Kansas City Chiefs are a real Jekyll and Hyde team. They started red hot. They went stone cold the past month. Now they're favored by 9 hosting the Bills. I like the Bills. Am I crazy?
I think you're right, but there's a big question mark with the Bills, which is why did they start Peterman at quarterback last week? No reasonable person thought the Bills increased their chances to win that game by starting Peterman. So you got to wonder, why start a guy that hurts your chances to win the game? That sounds, you know, very simple, but extremely logical. There's some speculation amongst guys I respect. The Bills don't want to re-sign Taylor, their quarterback, and by benching him, they lose a few games, they don't make the playoffs, it's easy to cut him. It's not re-signing, they actually would cut him, because he signed a $90 million contract, and he's not playing that well, but if they cut Taylor in the offseason, it's not going to be that bad financially. So if the team feels like the GM, the front office, isn't trying to win, and I think that's fair with the Buffalo players, you've got to wonder how they're going to react this week.
$90 million. Meanwhile, Peterman signed a $90 contract to play for the Bills. It looked like it. 5 picks. About what point in the game are you watching last week and saying, I got a new prop bet. How many picks does Peterman throw next week? What is the over-under on his interceptions? 2.5 today?
I tell you, I had a tweet that had 2,000 retweets at RJ in Vegas that said that Peterman had thrown 5 interceptions since 4 o'clock Eastern time, and Tom Brady had thrown 4 interceptions since January 2016.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah.
All about the quarterback in the NFL. RJ Bell is our guest from Las Vegas. Rams hosting the Saints in this one. This is a big showdown NFL-wise. And, you know, I imagine a little bit tense for the teams. It's not the Saints that we're used to. It's certainly not the Rams that we're used to from a year ago. Spread's only 2.5. Who do you like in this, RJ?
Far and away, the game of the day, in my opinion. Yep. And this is a classic pros versus Joes. So I'm guessing. Let you guys tell me who you're on, because I have a feeling.
I'm on, you know what? I'm on the Rams. You know what? It's 2.5 points. They're at home. They're coming off a humbling loss in Minnesota last week. I know that the New Orleans is going to try and run the ball on them. They got Drew Brees as a safety valve.
I think you're reading my notes, but you are with the pros there. Wow. You're with the pros.
There you go.
And the Joes are on the Saints, and it makes sense, right? You mentioned it, and it's a good point. Rams lost the game. The public says, oh, maybe they're not as good as we thought. And then we saw the Saints continue a win streak. They have not lost since week 2 of the NFL season. Wow. Remember, though, the Saints have multiple injuries on defense, and home field is 3. So the fact this is below 3 means there's value, in my opinion, on the Rams.
There you go. Well, I'm a Joe because I have a lot more fun, if you know what I mean, in New Orleans than I do in downtown L.A. So I'm going with the New Orleans
That's
Saints.
How you do it, right? It's not which of the mascots would win a fight, but it's where can I have the best night.
Yeah, and I have far more fun on Bourbon Street than I just
see the drunk baby flipping a coin reference for more.
That's me. Flip heads. Go Saints.
Hey, Oakland Raiders are a pretty popular team here in Los Angeles, hosting the Denver Broncos. Now Paxton Lynch at quarterback. What does that do to things?
This is a great concept. Whenever it seems like a team should be doing something and they're catching heat for not doing it, you can be pretty sure that doing it is a big mistake. We saw it last year with Goff. However well he's played this year, give him credit, he was not ready last year. Everyone in L.A., all the Rams fans, play him. Well, when he got out there, he was horrible. Well, Lynch was a first-round pick, and it's been over a year and a half, and they haven't played him. And they've been saying, why use a first-round pick if you're not going to play him, when Simeon and Osweiler has been so bad for the Broncos at quarterback? You know why? Because they know how bad Lynch is. And thus, I think you're going to see a Peterman-like problem today. I actually was going to bet Denver with either Osweiler or Simeon, but now with Lynch, I think it's a potential catastrophe, so I would lean Oakland.
Hey, you know what? I don't like these big spreads as well. He is RJ Bell from pregame.com. You can check him out at Podcast One as well, too. It's Sports on Chap, Sports on Tap, JD in the Bush, each and every Sunday morning, 7 to 9. But I'm telling you, man, the Steelers, I think, win this thing by 20-plus points. I just don't have any faith in what the Packers are doing with Brett Hundley. You can beat the Bears, but you're sure as hell not going to beat Pittsburgh, who, to me, is playing just as good, if not better, than New England.
I think so. You know, if you look at our Vegas rankings, we rank them 1 to 32. Amongst the top eight teams, six NFC teams, two AFC teams, mm-hmm. Steelers and Pats being the only two elite AFC teams, with Jacksonville number nine right out of the top eight. So I agree, but I would make this case. The range of effort in the NFL, from their best effort to their worst effort, the Steelers probably have the biggest range of effort, which means when they're not motivated, they don't play so well. We saw it recently against the Colts. So to me, I'm always leery laying the big number in general, yep. But I'm especially leery when it's Mike Tomlin and the Steelers.
Yeah, but if you're Tomlin, the only motivation you can give him is we got home field on the line because we're tied with New England. That's got to be all
you
have. Yeah.
That would apply pretty much the second half of most seasons mm-hmm. for Pittsburgh, and it applied a couple weeks ago too. And what kind of energy did we see against the Colts from the Steelers?
Yeah, I'm telling you already, December 17th, mark it down, Patriots hosting Pittsburgh. That's your game to determine who's going to host the AFC title
maybe,
game.
Yeah, maybe a preview of your AFC.
Absolutely,
title
absolutely.
Right. For more on the Vegas side of things in sports, go to pregame.com. Also go to podcast1.com and check out the Dream Preview podcast. RJ Bell, straight from Las Vegas. Thanks, bud.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, RJ.
All right. Excellent stuff from RJ. All right, back to a list. Everybody loves lists. Arena Rock, more next on KLOS. 95.5 KLOS. Everybody loves lists this weekend, even the Sports on Tap show, JD in the Bush, and we got another one for you. We've had We Will Rock You, We Are the Champions in there. Start Me Up by the Stones, Welcome to the Jungle, and Jump from Van Halen.
Yeah, I know a guy who used to jump out there at Staples Center. It was Dwight Howard, former Laker, in the news.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, did you see this?
I saw this. Yeah, this is not basketball related, is it?
Oh, it's not basketball related. He made an obscene gesture at a fan, and no, it wasn't the middle finger. That's too original. This guy, he went for it. So all I got to tell you is, due to FCC regs, you know, Google it. Okay, you'll see it somewhere out there. But
something about putting fingers up to your face or something like that.
Yeah, doing that. Apparently, he found a pretty girl at the game, because, well, when you go to these games, they're full of them. Okay, and he made a gesture.
And you know,
her.
Funny, the closer you get to the floor, the prettier they get.
Yeah, it is. And the longer your career goes and the more zeros you have at the end of your check, the prettier that they get too. Huh. Are there not a couple rock stars that are not very handsome but have really hot girls? Huh. Funny how that works. Is it just California? No, it's everywhere. It's how it goes. But, Dwight, he's only 31, still likes to get after it, if you can say. And he flashed a gesture to a woman, and now he's been fined for the...
A lewd gesture.
Well, it all depends. If you hang out in my arena, where we didn't play that pour some sugar on me, it's not really that lewd of a gesture, but it's all subjective.
We may have to play Cherry Pie for you before we're done.
Yeah, we're playing that, or we're playing Pour Some Sugar on Me, one or the other.
Come on.
Okay, but I'm telling you, man, it's his fifth fine this season. First time he did that one, though.
How much did he get fined for his lewd act?
Let's see, $35,000. So it's not
nothing.
It's not a whole lot.
That's,
I mean, come on.
You can do that every game.
You and I spend that at our arena. We go to the Olympic Gardens in Vegas.
Don't know what you're talking about, Rob. Time now for you to pick up the phone, 800-955-KLOS. Joe Rogan, Fox Performing Arts Center in Riverside, coming up December 8th. You want to see Joe Rogan? Don't do that, Rob. Stop that. Oh, my gosh. I can't look at that.
What, are you going to find me?
800-955-KLOS.
Radio.
If you want to win some Joe Rogan tickets, dial now. Arena Rock. Got to get some AC/DC in there. It's KLOS. 95.5 KLOS doing Everybody Loves Lists this weekend, even on the Sports on Tap show. Arena Rock songs for hour two of the program today. AC/DC and Thunderstruck. And yes, Dave, the song that we wanted to hear after Game 7 at Dodger Stadium, but just did not. We've got a great one to finish with today, a great Arena Rock song that you hear a lot in Los Angeles. And we'll play that for you here coming up in just a minute. Right now, boss of the big screen in the NFL, Rob, what do you got?
There's only one game today. I mean, this is such an ugly week on paper. But you know what that means? You're going to have like six games go to overtime. And last-second field goals, it always does mean
all
that.
These double-digit point spreads, supposed to be blowouts all over the place.
You could say Raiders, Broncos, but they're both having horrible seasons. Both have underachieved. It's just a great game for rivalry's sake and purpose. But, I mean, the Rams hosting the Saints, that's where it's at. 7-3 and 8-2 right now. Both teams look like they're headed for the playoffs. And the Rams need to keep winning because Seattle's going to win in San Francisco. Francisco. Otherwise, you're going to lose possession of first place because Seattle has a tiebreaker. So it's a big game for the Rams.
We hear that Seattle has agreed to go 1-on-11 Russell Wilson against the 49ers. The 49ers accepted, and they're still underdogs by about 6.5.
Right? Yeah, Seattle's still going to win the game. It's just Russell Wilson against everybody else. So.
You can see all the 49ers chasing
around. Well, it is. The 49ers are able to play two-hand touch, and they're still going to lose that game. All they got to do is get a hand on three.
So, boss of the big screen today for sure, the New Orleans Saints at the Rams. That's a 1:25 start time there. Should be a beauty. All right, time for us to go Christmas. Christmas.
Hey, it's Christmas every time Chris Carter's in here.
That's right, because it's Breakfast with the Beatles next on 95.5 KLOS.